Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, The Demigod's Appeal to the Lord, Text 25. Tatra drishta sarupaya shuta purvaya vai prabhu stutim abruta daiva bibira yerbis tvava hitendriya.
There, at the Lord's abode known as Swetadweep,
Adrishta
Srupaya,
under the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who was not seen even by Lord Brahma,
Shuddha Purvaya,
but who was heard about from the Vedas.
Vai,
indeed,
Prabhu,
Lord Brahma,
Stati
Stutim,
prayers derived from the Vedic literature.
Abhruta,
perform.
Dai
Bibi,
prayers.
Mentioned in the Vedic literature is offered by persons strictly following the Vedic principles.
Gir
Bi,
by such sound vibrations or
songs,
to
them.
Avihita
Indriya,
fixed in mind without
deviation.
Translation purport by the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila
Prabhupada.
There, at Swetadweep, Lord Brahma offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he had never seen the Supreme Lord. Simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Vedic literature, with a fixed mind he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by Vedic literature. Purport. It is said that when Brahma and the other demigods go to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Swetadweep, they cannot directly see him, but their prayers are heard by the Lord, and the needful action is taken. Thus we have seen in many instances the word Shruta Purvaya is significant. This we have seen in many instances. The word Shruta Purvaya is significant. We get experience by directly seeing or by hearing. If it is not possible to see someone directly, we can hear about him from authentic sources. Sometimes people ask whether we can show them God. This is ludicrous. It is not necessary for one to see God before he can accept God. Our sensory perception is always incomplete. Therefore, even if we see God, we may not be able to understand him. When Krishna was on earth, many people saw him but could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Abhidhananti mamuda manushim dhanam ashrityam. Even though the rascals and fools saw Krishna personally, they could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even upon seeing God personally, one who is unfortunate cannot understand him. Therefore, we have to hear about God, Krishna, from the authentic Vedic literature and from persons who understand the Vedic version properly. Even though Brahma had not seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was confident that the Lord was there in Swetadweep. Thus, he took the opportunity to go there and offer prayers to the Lord. These prayers are not ordinary concocted prayers. Prayers must be approved by the Vedic literature, as indicated in this verse. by the words Daivi Bir Girbi. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we do not allow any song that has not been approved or sung by bona fide devotees. We cannot allow cinema songs to be sung in the temple. We generally sing two songs. One is Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. This is bona fide. It is always mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and is accepted by the Acharyas. The other, of course, is the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We may also sing the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Lochana Das Thakur. But these two songs, Shri Krishna Chaitanya and the Hare Krishna Mantra, are sufficient to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we cannot see Him. Seeing the Lord is not as important as appreciating Him from the authentic literature or the authentic statements by authorized persons. So the translation again. There at Svetadvipa, Lord Brahma offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he had never seen the Supreme Lord. Simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Vedic literature, with a fixed mind he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by Vedic literature. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shrinivadi Paskatyade Siddharane. At the end of the fourth chapter in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tasmar Agina Sambhutam Ritstam Jnana Chanatmanaha Chidvainam Samshayam Yogam Atishto Tishta Bharata. So the verse is Tasma Agyana. Therefore the ignorance. And what is the ignorance? Generally people think of ignorance as not being able to pass some spelling test or something like that. But actually ignorance is not knowing who we are, who we actually are. And even worse than that is to think ourselves to be something that we're not. Due to the fact that we're in ignorance, avidya, therefore we've acquired a false ego, and we're convinced we're something we're not. And on that basis of being convinced by the false ego, we're accepting so many attachments and aversions that come to our mind. Things that make us an anxiety. Attachments means we hope that by this attachment, he'll protect me and make me happy. It ultimately comes down to the body. That something has a relationship to this body, and I'm attached to it because I hope it's going to make me happy. But ultimately, it's just like if you want to cross the ocean and you grab hold of the tail of a dog hoping to cross the ocean, you're not going to succeed. Similarly, all the attachments we have, whatever it may be. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nadanam, Nadanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaye. Mama Janmani, Janmani, Shvare, Bhavata, Bhakti, Ahai, Tuki, Twayi. These are the main attachments that we have. Janam, followers, whether it be our family members or whatever. You're my husband, you're my wife, you're my daughter, you're my whatever. And therefore, you're obliged to protect me. But, deha patya kala taradishu atma sanyeshva satsupi tesham pramato nidanam pashanapina pashati. They don't see that even though we have big, big families, but no one's protected at the end, everyone dies. The worst thing that can happen to anyone is that we leave this body, materially speaking. And everyone is guaranteed, no matter how many family members you have, how strong, how much money you have in the bank, how much personal influence one has, how much fame one has. None of these things save us at the time of leaving this body from having either to take another body. Therefore, they're called sannyasu, fallible soldiers. Asatsupi means they're fallible sannyasu. So all these attachments we have are all just our protection. The walls we put up, the triple lock we put on the door, the bank balance we have, the family members, the society, whatever else it may be, all meant to protect this body. That's what it gets down to. Deha patya kalatradishu atma sanyesha satsupi. We go through so much endeavor in this world ultimately to avoid death, which is inevitable. But we're thinking if our life is successful, if we live one day longer, then we've made it. We woke up today, and it's another opportunity to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. We're safe. We can go on enjoying the material world. As I mentioned many times, Prabhupada was coming back from a doctor's appointment in Los Angeles, in California, in America. And he passed by one movie theater, and the title of the movie was, Is There Sex After Death? So Prabhupada came back and gave a class to the devotees, and he mentioned, I passed by this movie theater, and I saw this title of the movie, and the title was, Is There Sex After Death? Prabhupada told the devotees, you should go today when you go out preaching, distributing books in a Harinam. You should tell all the people they don't have to worry. There is sex after death in 8,400,000 species of life. And if people hear that, then they won't be afraid of death anymore. That I'll still have the same pleasure or even more in my next life that I have now. So everyone is trying to avoid leaving this body, fearful that our happiness, our pleasure in the material world will come to an end. But it never comes to an end. Nor do the problems come to an end. Next time we take birth, in any species of life, we'll be looking both ways. Either crossing the street to see that no car hits us, or looking both ways to see no bigger animal comes and pounces on us. Still, we'll be looking both ways all the time. No big difference. Therefore, Krishna says, Tasman agina sambhutam ritstam jnana chitatmanaha. So this ignorance in our heart should be replaced with knowledge. And what is that knowledge? Prabhupada explains in the purport, there's only three things we have to know, but they're very deep. And therefore, because they're so deep, we think, oh yeah, I know all those things. I heard them a million times. Although we haven't even heard them once yet. Really heard them. But due to our false ego, we think, yeah, that's so simple. Let's hear something more sophisticated. I keep on hearing we're not this body, we're actually a spiritual being, we don't die when the body dies, we have to raise our consciousness to what? We have to raise our consciousness to become aware of Krishna and everyone and everything as it's related to Krishna. With the help of Krishna's expansion in our heart called the super soul. And Krishna's representatives from without, the super soul's representatives without, namely Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But our false ego has concluded that I already know everything I need to know because I'm going to get something to eat today, I'll have a place to sleep, and who knows, I may become Romeo or Juliet or Tarzan or Jane or Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse in the future. So that may be covered. And I have my coat in the winter, I have my shoes in the summer and the winter. So I'm more or less covered. I'm protected. And if worse comes to worse, I can go home to mommy and she'll take care of me. So everyone is more or less thinking they got it all covered, this soul. So what if I'm a soul? Big deal. Or the super soul. Oh, all right, there's some soul in my heart. Right, sure. And then there's the Supreme Lord. Well, that's too much. It's all nice philosophy, and I accept it superficially, but it's just like the parrot. You can teach a parrot to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. And then someone comes and grabs the throat's parrot. No more Hare Krishna. So we have this super fit, whatever our surrender is, we have this idea, oh, I made it already, you know, I'm surrendered. But the material nature is not going to be so, well, the material nature is very kind to us. It doesn't allow us to remain complacent in Kali Yuga. We can try and remain complacent, but the material nature is not going to encourage that at all. Instead, it's going to put us into more and more difficulty. And the only thing we'll have left is faith. Faith in the holy name, and faith doesn't mean blind faith. It means that by our experience previously being put into difficulty, we took shelter of the holy name. It didn't necessarily save us from the problem. It saved us from identification with the problem. Because it brought us to another level of experience that we could identify, and therefore we were not disturbed by the problem so much. Until one actually is living in the spiritual platform of consciousness, in reality, which is not so easy to accept because we haven't experienced it, but there is a level of reality where one is actually living on the spiritual platform with Krishna and his associates, engaged in the transcendental pastimes, as we have a pure preview to them in books like the Krishna book. But we can't jump into that because we're not even out of the bodily concept of life yet. We're just happy if we're not suffering. That's what happiness in the material world means. When I'm suffering less, then I say I'm all right. We don't go to the dentist to become happy. We go to the dentist to avoid all the problems we might have or we have already. And when they fix them, then we say we feel better, which means we're less suffering. So first we have to get out of the bodily concept of life, and the only way to practically do that in Kali Yuga is to actually take shelter of the holy name. And how to take shelter of the holy name? Means to chant the holy name and masuchaha. Give up all this attachment and aversion while we're chanting. That's called faith. That there's no need to worry. Of course, we have so many layers of worry, one on top of the other. We give up one layer of worry and then we meet another one. Maya is always willing to present us with some new reason to be in anxiety. So to chant Hare Krishna and be happy, not to worry about all these things, not to become attached or averse to the things that enter into our mind, and then to try to concentrate and try to become happier and happier and happier. So we may not directly perceive Krishna, but if we chant Hare Krishna and we're in the right consciousness, we'll experience his presence. And we might even remember something about Krishna. So that's more important than directly seeing Krishna like Hamsa or Hiranyakashipu or anyone else who saw Krishna but didn't understand who Krishna was. And therefore, couldn't give up their attachments to this material world. Anyone who sees Krishna but doesn't give up their attachment and identify themselves as Krishna's servant, then they're seeing Krishna as a waste of time. Just like we're actually seeing the deity, here they come. But because we don't identify ourselves with the deity as their eternal servant, therefore, seeing the deity means that we see our own, what we think is the deity. Maya will present to us, or Krishna will present to us, Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yoga Maya Samavrita Udayam Navijananti Lokoyam Ajam Avyam. I am never manifested the foolish and unintelligent. So if we see the deity and we're not in ecstasy, we don't feel great love and affection for the deity, that means we're foolish and less intelligent. So this is not one of these feel-good classes, telling you how wonderful we all are, that you're all pure devotees, and there's no one in this world better than you are, or we are. No, we see the deity and we're not in ecstasy. We chant the holy name and we're not in ecstasy. It means we're fools and rascals. Of course, who am I to tell anyone I'm a fool, they're fools and rascals? Because I'm also a fool and rascal. But I'm just repeating what those who are not fools and rascals are saying. Prabhupada used to criticize, and they said, don't criticize me for criticizing, because I'm not saying it, it's Krishna who's saying. He's saying you're a mudas. I'm not saying it. I'm just repeating what Krishna said. So we have to see, and although we can't see unless Krishna allows us to see, because Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, he's the one who gives us intelligence. And on what basis? That we try to become more steady. Well, how do we become more steady? We give up our attachment to our anxiety. All these things that are deviating us from Krishna consciousness. They're pulling our attention away from just feeling, hearing with attention and feeling Krishna's presence, giving our love to Krishna. That's how we become steady. And then when we're steady, as we're steady, then we can deepen our enthusiasm. So therefore Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction, endeavors executed with intelligence and Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So who doesn't want to become enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness? But there's a process. Which means we have to get out of the mode of ignorance where we're lamenting, and out of the mode of passion where we're hankering, and out of the mode of goodness where we're just thinking we're on top of the world because we're not hankering and lamenting. All my problems are solved for 5 minutes. Then there's something else to worry about. Maya will say, hey, wait a second, you look too content. Remember this? Oh my God, I forgot that. What about that? Wow, yeah, oh, where is it? So Maya's not going to keep us peaceful because she's going to bring up one thing we're hankering after another, whether it's Dhanam, Nurjanam, or Sundarim, or Kaivitam Vajagadisha Kamaye, or Janmani Janmanishare. Maya will pull up one thing after another. And it's progressive. Usually one goes from Janam, Dhanam, to Sundarim, because without Dhanam, it's hard to get Sundarim. Without wealth, it's hard to get women. And followers, you need some followers to get the wealth. You got to convince someone to buy something or whatever, hire you. So you need some Janam to get the Dhanam, to get the Sundarim. And after you get tired of the Sundarim, that you want liberation, you need a divorce, or you need another wife, or whatever, or you just want to get out of the whole thing entirely. I give up. I can't enjoy here. I'm going to enjoy in the spiritual world. So Maya will present one thing after another, and as long as we're not convinced that I have to get free from all these things, then there's no question of going back to the spiritual world. It'll take many, many births to finally get convinced in Kali Yuga, maybe until the little pygmies who are very small, 1 meter high, are running after us to eat us. And we think, yeah, I should have chanted more carefully before. Now that I have nothing left but my body and they want that, I'm quite detached. So, we may not see Krishna, but we have to follow the process by which we become eligible to experience Krishna consciousness. The gopis did not always see Krishna, but they were always experiencing Krishna, because Krishna and his name are non-different. Krishna and the deities are non-different. Krishna and his words in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they're non-different, but we're very different from them, and that's our problem. They're all blissful, they all understand everything properly, and we're all in morose because we're attached to the material energy, and we don't understand that we're eternal and who Krishna is. So these things are spiritual, and we have to learn how to take shelter of them, and that takes practice, and therefore we have sadhana bhakti. It doesn't come just by counting the number of years we've been saying schnick, schnick, ram, ram, day, 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 hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. It's practical surrender. Endeavors. We have to know what the proper endeavor is, and we have to get the intelligence coming from Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra with the hope of the help of the super soul within our heart, so we can actually become conscious of Krishna, and then we'll actually be enthusiastic in what we're doing. Otherwise, Maya will simply, this is her job, she'll present one problem after another, and as Kali Yuga goes on, he'll get increasingly more difficult problems. Until, hopefully, we'll give up, put our hands up like Draupadi and say, I give up, I surrender. And actually surrender our anxiety. Surrender doesn't mean, don't shoot me, God. That's not the surrender we're looking for. The surrender is, I give up all my anxieties. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. I give up all my hankering, all my lamentation. I'm simply, at every moment, I'm just waiting to find out what you want me to do. That's all I'm trying to figure out. That's all I want to know, is what you want me to do. And I'm surrendered to doing that with the faith and confidence that this will please you. And by pleasing you, I'll be pleasing everyone. I'll be doing the best service for myself and everyone else. So, Brahma, the demigods, they went. They offered their prayers to the Swetha Dweep. And they got an experience. Krishna reciprocated with them. And Krishna will reciprocate with us too. It's just a question of us putting aside our doubts, putting aside doubts which arise out of what? Our attachment to the material world. Arising from what? Our attachment to this material body, our attachment to our material conceptions, our attachment to our material feelings that want to make this life as pleasant, happy as possible, and progress so we practically get unlimited material ecstasy at every moment. Running after the carrot, it's always in front of us, pulling the heavy load, thinking one more step and I'll get it. Yeah, we'll get it. We'll get a good knock from the material energy. Till we wake up and realize we're never going to get the carrot. Or even if we get the carrot, it certainly wasn't what we thought the carrot would be. It's not an organic carrot. It's a rotten carrot. Or a poison carrot. So we should, anyhow, so I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? It may be a nice carrot, I don't know. Our life is not to run after carrots.
So one question that sometimes comes up is how to increase the service we are doing without burning out, without doing this service for 1 week and then...
Well, everything requires intelligence. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, ukramantam sitim vapi bunjana vagunanvita Vimudo nana pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So if we're fools, we're going to do everything. We're going to do so many things wrong. And our false ego is telling us, you're doing it wrong, but you're absolutely right. If you have one of Krishna's cars, which we can see many devotees have destroyed Krishna's cars too, because they're proud. Oh, Krishna will protect me. I can drive blind. I don't have to get enough sleep when I drive. I can drive asleep. Krishna will protect me. Many accidents in ISKCON have taken place due to devotees' pride that Krishna will protect me. Even when I'm doing exactly what Krishna doesn't want me to do, because I think this world is something apart from Krishna. Spiritual life is just a part. Oh, this world is just trash, and the real world is the spiritual world. So I can act like trash this world and enter into the spiritual world. But actually, this world is also Krishna's property. This body we're in actually belongs to Krishna. And if we don't utilize, if we trash it, then we'll get the result, because we've misused Krishna's property. So we can know how much we can eat. I mean, the stomach is only two sides of a fist, and we think, well, my stomach is spiritual, so it's unlimited. It'll just expand. The prasadam is spiritual, therefore it doesn't just, it exists in some realm outside the stomach, in the spiritual world. And we're surprised when we get sick. Oh, how is this possible? I just ate prasadam, it was all spiritual. How did it make me sick? Spiritual things make you sick. It must not be spiritual. We think, oh, I have this body has unlimited energy because I'm a devotee, and therefore Krishna will empower me, whatever I'm doing. No, we should know how much energy the body has, how to regulate that energy, so it's divided up into all the different things that we're supposed to do. Not that I just do service, I don't chant, I don't hear about Krishna, but because I'm doing so much service, Krishna will make up for it. No, that means that we have no faith in the Acharya's statements. They've given us so many things to do, and we have to fit into our lives. What actually is the transcendental sandwich? Probably just transcendental sandwich means that in the morning we hear about, we wake up, attend Mangal Arati, auspicious, the most auspicious time of the day. Then we sing songs praising Krishna and his devotees in front of the deities. So we're doing deity worship at the most auspicious time of the day. Then we chant japa, which is the best time of the day to do it. And then we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, in the association of devotees, in a spiritual atmosphere. And we do that in the morning. And then, enlivened, enlightened by the knowledge and experience we get, we go out and we do something for Krishna. We can work at a job and give some results to Krishna, or we can go and preach, and then in the evening we hear about Krishna again before we take rest. So we dream about Krishna at night. Sometimes for a few days, a week, whatever, there may be a marathon, but that should also be regulated. Otherwise we're just fools. I know many devotees who won the marathon and then left the movement afterwards. So that's just foolishness. We should know what kind of body we're in and how to properly utilize it for the long term, so that we go back to Godhead, not in 5 minutes. We go back to Godhead so we spend the whole life in Krishna consciousness, healthy and happy in Krishna consciousness, rather than serving our false ego, that I'm the best, I can defy the laws of nature, who cares about Maya, I am who I am. I'm transcendental. I'm powerful. I'm empowered. Yeah, we may be empowered for a few hours or a few days and before we crash. Because our mind was empowered, our consciousness was empowered. We neglected our body and our mind because we didn't use our intelligence. Anything else?
Thank you, Maharaja. I'm always wondering if I do some service just for the nation, not working in a factory, and how to not be little in kind of wondering, is my income enough to pay bills and pay food? If I'm working just for the nation, how to be totally detached?
For donation, did you say?
Yeah, I mean whatever Krishna sent. Sankirtan, prasadam distribution, any simple work that I have family.
Anyhow, so we have to. Krishna is in our heart. He can tell us, you know, to do what to do, what he wants us to do, and if we do that, we have to have some faith. Krishna will provide what we need. That's what he says. Have you ever had a day when you didn't get food? Have you ever had any day where you didn't get something to eat? I'm asking you.
Can you repeat, please?
Have you ever had a day in your life that you didn't get something to eat? There was nothing available at all.
In Krishna consciousness, no.
Okay, so we have to look back. Krishna will give us something. He's given the birds everything. They're not even going to Mangalarti, yet the birds get something to eat. All the animals get something to eat. The insects get something. So why Krishna won't give us something to eat? Anything else?
Ramandra. As per Srimad Bhagavatam 4.30.21, prasetas were free from the gunas, but had contamination of grief because of not seeing the Supreme Lord. Question is, was this contamination of grief spiritual, since they were free from the influence of gunas?
Potatoes were free from the modes of nature, is that, and yet they were lamenting about what?
Was this contamination of grief spiritual, since they were free?
When you say contamination, that's already, you can't have, there's no such thing as spiritual contamination. What contamination are you talking about? What instance are you talking about?
Yeah, it's unclear.
What's the beginning of the question?
So, I can just repeat again.
Yeah, you have to repeat.
Was this contamination?
What contamination?
I don't know, just...
That's the beginning of the question? What's the beginning of the question?
Prasetas were free from the gunas, but had contamination of grief because of not seeing the Supreme Lord.
Well, that's not a contamination. That's feeling separation. That's transcendental.
I don't know, there is another one.
Okay.
Yeah, question. Srila Prabhupada writes that we should not try to see God, but we should act in such way that He sees us.
He wants to see us. Okay, go ahead. He's already seeing us.
Yeah. But there are other statements in the Shastras, in the Charyas, meant for the sadhakas, like Śrīla Rūpa Goswami, that although one sees himself unqualified, there should be a hope for such mercy to see God. What do you think about this contradiction?
It's not a contradiction. There's no contradiction. Yeah, we understand Krishna. It's up to Krishna whether he reveals himself to us, but we feel ourselves unqualified. But we know Krishna is very merciful, and therefore, although we feel unqualified, we hope that Krishna, because he's so merciful, therefore he'll reveal himself to us if he can find any little qualification we have within ourselves. And the main qualification is beginning with humility. So unless we have that feeling, we think I'm so qualified, Krishna will definitely reveal himself to me because of my exalted qualities. Then Krishna will, when he sees our pride, he'll go further away from us. When he sees that we understand our fallen condition, and that we, whatever we do, we know that we're completely dependent on Krishna and his representatives, that we have no real qualification other than their mercy, then Krishna will be merciful to us. One more question. Do you do have a question, Manaji? Yeah, her. Here, right there.
Thank you, Maharaj. This was a pretty heavy class in terms of destroying our attachments. And so I have a question about this. I'm a therapist,
yeah. And
I offer help to devotees. I speak to a lot of people in distress. Some of them, you know, have some hankering, some lamentations. And so I was wondering if you could give some guidance how to help people without hurting them. Because some young people come to me and they're really in a lot of distress. They say, I'm really wanting a wife or a husband. And my mind will become peaceful. Then I'll be able to carry out my duties nicely in Grihastha Ashram. But I'm not getting a husband or I'm not getting a wife. And so that's one thing. Then there is other kinds of lamentation. I lost my job, I lost my wife, I lost my husband. Whatever it may be. So how do we give them Krishna conscious counseling that will be effective and not blow them off?
I don't know. Everyone is different. Prabhupada said different things to different people at different times. I mean, if you can get them a husband or a wife, at least for momentarily, they'll be happy with you. What can you do? If people are hankering, what counseling will do? You can tell them. I mean, Prabhupada, like one time, some girl, she was like 8 years old, she had cancer, she came to Vrindavan, and they came to see Prabhupada with her mother. And they were crying, you know, my daughter's going to die. And Prabhupada said, actually, we're not going to die. You're eternal. Don't stop lamenting. But that's Prabhupada. Mm. Because he could actually talk from the platform of realization. So we have to see what level of realization I'm on and what's appropriate to where this person's at that we're talking to, how much they accept our instructions, what realizations or instructions we can even give them. And then pray to Krishna that we can say something that will be helpful for them to advance in Krishna consciousness. So without our understanding our own position, where we're at, and having the intelligence to understand where others are at, understand what the different steps of devotional service are, then it's very difficult. So we have to learn these things, and then pray to the Super Soul so he can give us a clear intelligence so we know exactly what to say under those time, place, and circumstances, which are always going to vary.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.